Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I am still a congregational consultant with Troubling the Waters.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the Director of Formation for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
Still?
Still.
Wow.
How long have you been doing that? I really like this job.
How long have you been doing that now?
A year and 2 months.
Okay.
And 3 days.
Okay.
Do you feel better now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, there's a big difference between a 14-month-old and an 18-month-old. Welcome back, everybody, to the Faith to Go podcast for this week, leading up to the third Sunday in Easter in year B. That will be April 14th, 2024. We're excited to talk about the resurrected Jesus again. Look out, everyone. Before we get into our gospel discussion for today, Charlotte claims to have a God sighting.
I do.
To have seen God today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I saw God today, but my reflection is from last week.
Oh, okay. That still counts.
It's within the window of opportunity.
Yes.
And what I was thinking about was I was on vacation last week.
Good for you.
I know. But I was
thinking
about it because we talk a lot about Sabbath and the invitation to rest and to stillness. And as someone who works in ministry, sometimes it is hard to actually take your Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And so I was off last week and I didn't have plans. There was no big trip. Mm-hmm. There was no family obligations. I mean, it was my daughter's birthday during the week, but there wasn't anything really enormous that had to be accomplished. There was no major home renovations. There was nothing. And so as we talked about it at the beginning of Lent, part of my Lenten practice was noticing what I needed in each given day and trying to live into that. Mm-hmm. And nothing helps you do that more humbly than a week off without a bunch of things scheduled into it, right? So each day I had to take the opportunity to notice, like, what do I want to do? And as somebody who is not prone to stillness, there is the danger of wallow. It is very easy if I don't have some sort of structure in my day for me to fall into despair around it and to like turn into a blob on the couch. Mm-hmm. It is not my preferred state of being. Mm-hmm. And so each day I kind of thought about what I wanted for myself in that day. So there was some hiking. I turned some garden beds. I moved some plants. I reorganized a cabinet. I went for a bunch of walks. I focused on drinking my water. I did all of these things. And in the effort of practicing Sabbath, I noticed God. Mm. Because it wasn't easy for me. It took me about 3 days to get to where I didn't want to at least just peek in my email and see if there was anything in there that I needed to know about or to help somebody with or to support something. Mm-hmm. And so it was this really beautiful Lenten practice of me of holding Sabbath sacred and inviting God into that space with me, especially in those moments where I felt like I wasn't doing enough. Doing is something that I always feel like I need to do more of, and to just live into the quiet of the week.
Sabbath. Thank you for taking the time off.
Thank you.
That was very nice of you to do. And we hope you all are taking time off if you can, you know. And we always love to hear where you saw or felt God in your rest or in your doing. You can always share your questions or comments or stories of faith discussion and reflection with us as well. And you can email us, faith2go@edsd.org. You can contact us through Instagram, tag us, leave a comment at faith2go. And you can find both of those ways of getting in contact with us listed in the description for this episode. And now we're going to move on to our gospel discussion from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36b through 48. Charlotte's going to read it. I'll have a little context, and then we'll each have a point. So take it away, Charlotte.
Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
All right. Very exciting. Mm-hmm. So we have a similar story to last week's story from John 20 with Thomas featured in that story. In this one, Thomas not singled out. No one's singled out. So it's interesting to notice the differences between that appearance of Jesus to the disciples in last week and this week. This also is taking place at a different time because the story right before this is the road to Emmaus. So two of the disciples have already left the city and traveled and then met Jesus. And then Jesus has this conversation with them. They have this interaction with Jesus and then they go back. So some time has passed then, as opposed to last week in John, where it was like the evening of Easter Sunday morning, you know, that Jesus appeared to them. It's always interesting to notice differences between these parallel gospel stories. And this is really the end of Luke's gospel. The only thing that happens after this is there's like three or four verses left, and the ascension is the very last thing that happens in Luke. Of course, then Luke is going to write part two in Acts, and the ascension and Pentecost, all that stuff's going to happen. This is the resurrection appearance for Luke's gospel. It's one of two, and Charlotte has the first point.
Thanks, David.
You're welcome.
So I was thinking about the normalness of this interaction. Not that I think any interaction with the risen Christ could be normal.
As normal as you can get.
I guess, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. But I love that what happens in this is that Jesus comes and they are terrified. Yeah. And he immediately, this time without being asked, is like, "Look, it's me. See my hands, see my feet. Yeah. Here I am," right? Like, I have flesh. And he like jumps into it with them to reassure them in their fear. But then we have, while in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering, mm-hmm. right? So like that is naming the fact that they are not in a place of certainty about the fact that that is Jesus there with them. And so he says, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And I love this. Mm-hmm. I love this so much. And I especially love the fact that not only do they give him a fish, but the gospel writer tells us that the fish is broiled. And the reason why I love that is the specificity of that is to name like what actually happened, right? Mm-hmm. So like they gave him a broiled fish mm-hmm. to eat. Maybe there were some herbs. We don't know.
I would hope so.
Yeah, a little seasoning. Sake. But there
I assume he's got taste buds if he's, I mean.
Correct.
He's eating.
Yes. Yeah. But I love the fact that it centers you, it grounds you, which is from your point last week also, right? Like mm-hmm. these are things, oftentimes when people are struggling with anxiety, one of the practices that they are invited to is to notice things around them, five things that you can see, four things that you can hear, three things that you can smell. And it's like it mm-hmm. takes you through your senses yeah. to help ground you in a tumultuous time. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we have here mm-hmm. as well, grounded in the normalness of asking for something to eat and then eating it mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is really important. And we also get this story. And when we get it in John, it takes us, it bridges to the conversation with Peter, where he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Mm-hmm. And he asks Peter that question three times. And he then reflects to Peter in it, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Mm-hmm. And so again, centering Peter in what he already knows in that the work that Jesus has called him to do.
And also after he's eaten fish with him.
Correct. Right?
Come so have, he, breakfast, have right. breakfast with me.
Come and be grounded mm-hmm. and then remember what it is that you are supposed to do with me.
Yeah.
And then in Matthew, I was thinking about it. So we're going all around the Gospels today, right? But we have a whole Bible. We're allowed to do this. And you're like, "Are we, Charlotte?"
We are.
We can read the whole thing. But I was thinking about the story in Matthew when Jesus says to them, you know, you gave me clothes, you fed me, all of these things. And they're like, when did we do this, Jesus? Mm-hmm. And he says, when you have done this for the least of these, so you have done it for me. And so when we have this opportunity in Scripture to experience a reading like we have today in the lectionary, and then to make connections with other pieces of Scripture that we have experienced in our time, and to realize we're constantly being shaped and formed and sent. Mm-hmm. We are being grounded and shaped and formed and sent every day in our lives. And it happens for the disciples. If it can happen for the disciples, it can happen for all of us, right? Because that's what happens in this. He comes, he sees them. He's like, okay, y'all are scared. It's me. Here are my wounds. Here I have flesh. And now they're still awestruck and disbelieving. And he's like, let's eat together. Because the last thing I did with you was eat with you. And then it reminds them of all of these other things, of what it means to be in relationship with them and the work that they still have to do, mm-hmm. because the work's not done yet.
Yeah. One of the constant themes, it seems, in the ends of these Gospels, really throughout all the Gospels, is like Jesus the whole time is getting them ready to do the work, mm-hmm. like you're saying, and he's constantly concerned with equipping them to do that work. And it's interesting that in last week's Gospel, Jesus does the kind of like, prove it to me that you're Jesus, prompted by Thomas.
Yeah.
In this one, he does it totally unprompted. Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of reads the room, and then he's like, well, give me some fish, and I'll show you that I'm not a ghost. He's very attuned to them. And we've talked about Jesus' attunement a lot before. But this is his attunement to what they need in order to be equipped, in order to do the work that he needs them. Because he needs them to get past this thing. He needs them to be with him, to see him, so they can listen, you know, mm-hmm. to what his call is going to be to them, ultimately. And then that continues, especially in Luke, into Acts, where he's equipping them with the Holy Spirit, you know, and equipping them with like all these different ways of being and all these tools that they need to do the work in the world that he wants them to do. Jesus is like, I think this is also a story just about Jesus being attuned to what they need in the moment, mm-hmm. you know, and that's really beautiful. That's really beautiful.
Well, and we have that same reminder every week, right? Like, that's why we have the Eucharist, is to remember mm-hmm. every single week.
Mm-hmm. My point is about wondering and disbelieving. I've probably talked about this on the pod before, because we've talked about this gospel before. And the thing that always jumps out to me is that they were still disbelieving and wondering. I really love that in all the gospels, it talks about the disciples doubting. All the gospels where there's a resurrection appearance, at least. So that wouldn't include Mark. But in Luke and Matthew, because in Matthew, when Jesus meets them on the mountaintop in Galilee, it says they doubted. You know, like they doubted that this was really happening, you know, and like in the presence of Jesus with all the proof that they might need, like it's still doubt. And then Thomas doubts, and then they all doubt here. You know, it's really cool, I think, that Jesus doesn't require them to believe in order to do the work that they're going to do in the world. He still is trying to prove it to them in some way, I guess, you know, but he's kind of meeting them where they are all the time. Which I love. And Jesus has done that his whole life. That's what he did his whole ministry, meeting people where they are, answering questions, and then calling them beyond themselves to something different, something new, like pulling them out of their comfort zone to push them, to help them grow. I just love this idea of the disciples both disbelieving and still wondering. And I think it's just such an important posture to be able to hold, both of these feelings of not really believing, but still being open to the possibility. Mm-hmm. I think that it's extremely important for us now in a really, really polarized world, a world where very often the model that we're given is people defending their ideology rather than being able to both not believe something but still be open to the possibility that it's true, mm-hmm. you know, which is different than disbelieving and then being defensive. Just the simple fact that, like, in the face of this new life of Jesus, these disciples who have been with Jesus his entire ministry, that they, like, show us this example in the face of totally new, unbelievable information, that they can both be disbelieving and still wondering, which means that we have the capacity in us to have this as well. And I think this is the only way forward in such a polarized world. It's not that you have to believe everything, you know? Like, you can still hold doubts and yet be open to the possibility that you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. I'm struck also by the fact that both last week and this week, Jesus makes it so clear. Jesus is very clear about their mission after this, you know? Their mission is not go make more disciples like it is in Matthew. Their mission here is to, he says, that repentance and forgiveness of sin is to be proclaimed in God's name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. It's not make disciples, go to the ends of the world, make disciples. It's go to the ends of the earth, proclaim repentance, that things you can change, and forgiveness, that you can be released from the things that you've done to hurt other people, you know. I'm struck by the fact that, like, the only way to really do that work is for them to retain this capacity of both disbelief and wonder. That, like, we can't, like, do the work of reconciliation, of repentance and forgiveness, without entering into that uncomfortable in-between place in conversation with people that we don't like or agree with, while both disagreeing with them and wondering about them. And so there is no way that we can do the work of repentance and forgiveness without the capacity for wonder in the face of our frustration and our disbelief and our doubt and our anger and our sadness and our grief about what somebody else might believe or has done or whatever. It is a real question for us of, like, who is it hardest for us to wonder about? And in the face of that, in the face of our, like, feelings of defensiveness and anger for someone else's belief or actions, when we really find it hard to wonder, what are the practices that can get us there? Like, what do we need for ourselves to be able to find that footing and to be able to hold those two things? Because we can't do what Jesus is asking us to do without the capacity for both of those things.
While you were talking, David, I was thinking about something I read just the other day. I belong to The Corners, which is Nadia Bowles Weber's Substack that goes out. Mm-hmm. And she had sent out a post that was an answer to a reader question, which was, how do I avoid being a bitter old woman? And in it, she actually talked about, like, bitter foods as part of it, and how, like, we learn, like, there's a season where all we like is milk chocolate, and then over the years we learn to appreciate the depth and the richness of dark chocolate. Then, like, arugula and what you would pair with it, and broccolini with butter, and, like, how these pairings allow the bitterness to show its beauty too. And what I was thinking about in this, and it's not what she said in the article, is that actually that these places of wonder are what keep us from being bitter, because they take those challenging beliefs that we are holding, those ways in which we are pushed by other people and relationships, and that we feel challenged by them. We feel disbelief or that they're just wrong. Mm. And the wonder and the curiosity are what pairs with it to allow us to move forward in relationship with people and not to get bitter and jaded. Mm-hmm. Because there is plenty out in the world right now that could make us bitter and jaded. Mm-hmm. And it is a constant practice to continue to open ourselves up to wonder and curiosity so that we can be in relationship with Christ and that we can be in relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Jesus ultimately will equip them in Luke's tradition with the capacity to communicate across these lines of difference. Mm-hmm. In Pentecost, you know, and, like, it's like that capacity without the ability to wonder about people that are different from you actually doesn't help at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you can communicate with them, it's not about trying to convince them of one thing or another, but to actually, like, hear them, listen to their story, understand them, you know, wonder about them. So anyway, I think it's really just a cool idea that I can't really get past. Mm-hmm. Whenever I read this story. So having heard those two points, we'd love to know what your point would have been on the pod this week. We would always love to hear from you. Point number one was Charlotte's. It was about the normalcy, you know, of Jesus's actions, helping ground the disciples in the now, in the reality of what's happening, to help move them through this incredible experience. And mine was about their kind of general posture in point number two, about their disbelieving and their wondering, and how it's so necessary to have that have that stance in order to be able to do the work that Jesus calls them to do of repentance and forgiveness in all the world. We would always love to hear from you if you'd like to share your point from this gospel, if you'd like to share any reflections, questions, comments, or stories from your week of faith discussion, any of your God sightings. We would always love to hear from you. You can get in contact with us in any of those ways listed in the description for this episode. You can scroll down and click those links. Charlotte referenced Nadia Boltz-Weber's Substack.
I did. It's called The Corners.
The Corners. Mm-hmm. So we'll put a link to Nadia Boltz-Weber's Substack in the description if you'd like to check it out. We'll be back next week to talk about the fourth Sunday in Easter, Easter 4 in year B. That'll be April 21st, 2024. Until then, we say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.